Numbers chapter 33. These are the journeys of the sons of Israel by which they came out from the land of Egypt by their armies under the leadership of Moses and Aaron. And Moses recorded their starting places according to their journeys by the command of the Lord. And these are their journeys according to their starting places. They journeyed from Ramesses in the first month on the 15th day of the first month on the next day after the Passover. The sons of Israel started out boldly in the sight of all the Egyptians. While the Egyptians were burying all their firstborn whom the Lord had struck down among them, the Lord had also executed judgments on their gods. Then the sons of Israel journeyed from Ramesses and camped in Succoth, and then they journeyed from Succoth and camped in Etham, which is in the edge of the wilderness. They journeyed from Etham and turned back to Pi-Hahiroth, which faces Baal-Zephon, and they camped before Migdol. And they journeyed from there before Hahiroth and passed through the midst of the sea into the wilderness and went there 3 days' journey in the wilderness of Etham and camped at Marah. And they journeyed from Marah and came to Elim. And in Elim there were 12 springs of water and 70 palm trees, and they camped there. And they journeyed from Elim and camped by the Red Sea. They journeyed from the Red Sea and camped in the wilderness of Sin. And they journeyed from the wilderness of Sin and camped at Dophkah. And they journeyed from Dophkah and camped at Alush. And they journeyed from Alush and camped at Rephidim, and from there was there that the people had no water to drink. And they journeyed from Rephidim and camped in the wilderness of Sinai. And they journeyed from the wilderness of Sinai and camped at Kibroth Hattava. And they journeyed from Kibroth Hattava and camped at Hazeroth. And they journeyed from Hazeroth and camped at Rithma. Journeyed from Rithma and camped at Rimmon Perez. They journeyed from Rimmon Perez and camped at Libna. They journeyed from Libna and camped at Risa. They journeyed from Risa and camped at Kehelelath. And they journeyed from Kehelelath and camped at Mount Shepher. And they journeyed from Mount Shepher and camped at Harada. They journeyed from Harada and camped at Machaloth. And they journeyed from Machaloth and camped at Tahath. Journeyed from Tahath and camped at Terah. They journeyed from Terah and camped at Mithka. They journeyed from Mithka and camped at Hashmonoah. And they journeyed from Hashmonoah and camped at Maseroth. And they journeyed from Maseroth and camped at Bene-Jaakan. And they journeyed from Bene-Jaakan and camped at Hor Haggadah. And they journeyed from Hor Haggadah and camped at Jotbatha. And they journeyed from Jotbatha and camped at Abrannah. And they journeyed from Abrannah and camped at Ezion-Geber. They journeyed from Ezion-Geber and camped in the wilderness of Zin, that is Kadesh. They journeyed from Kadesh and camped at Mount Or at the edge of the land of Edom. Then Aaron the priest went up to Mount Or at the command of the Lord and died there in the 40th year after the sons of Israel had come from the land of Egypt on the first day in the fifth month. And Aaron was 123 years old when he died on Mount Or. Now the Canaanite, the king of Arad, who lived in the Negev in the land of Canaan, heard of the coming of the sons of Israel. Then they journeyed from Mount Or and camped at Zalmanah, and they journeyed from Zalmanah and camped at Punon, and they journeyed from Punon and camped at Oboth, and they journeyed from Oboth and camped at Ai-Abarim at the border of Moab. And they journeyed from Aim and camped at Dibon-Gad. And they journeyed from Dibon-Gad and camped at Almon-Diblathaim. And they journeyed from Almon-Diblathaim and camped in the mountains of Abarim before Nebo. They journeyed from the mountains of Abarim and camped in the plains of Moab by the Jordan opposite Jericho. And they camped by the Jordan from Beth-Jeshimoth and as far as Abel-Shittim in the plains of Moab. Then the Lord spoke to Moses in the plains of Moab by the Jordan opposite Jericho, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, when you cross over the Jordan to the land of Canaan, then you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you and destroy all their figured stones and destroy all their molten images and demolish all their high places. And you shall take possession of the land and live in it, for I have given the land to you to possess it. And you shall inherit the land by lot according to your families. To the larger you shall give more inheritance, and to the smaller you shall give less inheritance. Wherever the lot falls to anyone, that shall be his. You shall inherit according to the tribes of your fathers. But if you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come about that those whom you let remain of them will become as pricks in your eyes and as thorns in your sides, and they shall trouble you in the land in which you live. And it shall come about that as I plan to do to them, so will I do to you." Amen. So chapter 33 is a summary chapter. So they're going to go through the recordings of the journeys. And then they're going to get right to the base where they're going to go into the promised land. And this is the picture is happening. So the rest of Numbers will talk about the inhabitation of the promised land as they step in. And so the first thing that I want you to notice is that as they make this summary, look at verse 2. It says, and Moses recorded their starting places and according to their journeys by the command of the Lord. And so every time that they were to journey on, it was through God's command. They never started their journey unless God spoke to them. I think this is really important for us, especially we live in such a mobile society. It's so easy we could be in so many places at so many times. You could be here in Hong Kong, you could be in Singapore, you know, next week. I'm not talking about the visit, I'm talking about living. Next thing you know, a few years later on, you could be living in Dubai, a year after that. I mean, you can be all over the place. And so with that in mind, I think it's really important for us to get a sense of God's leading in our lives. This is huge for every one of us, that the Lord should be speaking to us, and whenever we do make a move, it should be the command of the Lord, that your life should be dictated, really, more than anything else, than by the voice of God. Yesterday, or on Sunday, we had a board meeting, I asked Pastor Hyunsu to come in, since he's going to Beijing, and to come and just kind of observe what we're doing, because he's going to have to lead a board in Beijing. And so he sat in for a while, and then after the meeting was done, I asked him, hey, do you have any questions for the board members or for myself? It was really more for the board members. And so then, you know, we end up spending like another hour and a half just talking about roles and whatnot. But then it got to philosophies. Ministry philosophies, so what we do, core values, you know, all these things. And this is eventually, I said this, and I realized, you know, this is really the summing up of a ministry philosophy, personally, but also as it relates to Solomon's Porch. And as we're talking, I said, you know, at the end of the day, you know, we're going through all so many questions, so many, you know, what do we do in these situations, you know, this leadership structure, these things here. And basically, I mean, it just came out of my mouth and I realized, you know what, this is our DNA. I said, you know, at the end of the day, you want to be successful, this is what you need to do. You need to pray. You need to seek God's face. You need to hear God's voice and then obey his voice. And in the midst of all the questions and all these things, that's all you have to do. And if you can do that, then you'll be successful. It's quite simple. It's so simple. And that's just not a church ministry philosophy. I think that's a great philosophy for our lives. Be a person of prayer. Right, be a person that seeks God's face, not just when you need stuff, but continually, and God will speak to you, because you're in right relationship with God, because you're open to His will. God's going to speak. In fact, He always speaks to us. It's the key is, are we willing to listen? And then when you hear from the Lord, just obey. Just obey. It's kind of like John 2 when Jesus' mom tells the waiters, hey, whatever he says to you, just do it. So simple. If you can follow what I consider to be the greatest mother's advice in all of the Bible, probably in the history of the world, you know, I mean, our moms are full of wisdom, but John 2, man, right? Whatever he says to you, do it. And if you can get yourself into a place to do that, you'll be blessed. You will live an incredible Christian life. You will be living in the center of God's will. And that's a beautiful place to be at. And so always, it was always the command of the Lord. Get yourself in a position to hear from God, hear from the Lord, and then obey whatever He asks you to do. It's really so simple. And it really is. And that pretty much sums up the way that we should live our lives. And so he continues on. Now he's rummaging through a history now, so he's talking about the Passover. So this is the journey. The journey started right there when God did his work, and then they were off. Okay, and so, you know, we're not off on our own initiative. We're off because of what God did for us. In the same way, the Israelites started their journey because of what God did for them. There was the Passover. And I mean, if you just think about such a poignant picture and a great word for us. Just if you think in this way, here's death. And here's judgment, it's coming over you, and because of what God's done, whoosh, it just passes over you, and it goes on. I mean, what a great, you know, this sounds kind of like a dance move, but, you know, it's so simple. Here he's coming, here's death, every single one deserves to die, and then because of the grace of God, because of the blood of the Lamb, judgment passes over us, and it goes, and John actually, we'll talk about that even in more in depth. And so the journey starts, your journey starts, not because you're capable, not because you're competent. Your journey starts because of what God has done. The Israelites' journey starts because of what God has done. God has passed over them, and he's set them free out of bondage. They go on their journey, and then it goes boom, 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 all these places, these journey. Now, if you are a good student of the Scriptures, you'll notice that there's three different summaries. There's the one in Exodus, there's the one here in Numbers, and then the one in Deuteronomy, and they're all a little bit different. And so just to give an idea, the Numbers one is more dealing with more major places that are going out. And so you'll see a lot of the ones that are in Exodus and Deuteronomy that are not in Numbers, because it's basically Moses is now just talking about like major places or places where they settled in camp for a longer period of time, where the other ones will have more shorter journeys along with it. So there's not necessarily much discrepancy. And so this is how they went. And if you notice a few times that they're actually doing circles. They're coming back around to different places. If you have a really good study Bible and you look in the back of your Bible, you can look at the journey of the Israelites from Sinai. I have one here, and this is the wandering in the wilderness, and I mean, you probably can't see it from here, but if you look at this map, it starts off here and it goes around, and when they get here, they're really close, they're going in circles a few times, and it's actually quite sad, and the reason why they do that is because of their unbelief, because of their sin, and you know, sin will make you wander, right? Sin will get you lost. Sin will delay whatever God has in store for us. And so don't sin. I mean, it's just so simple in that regard. I know it's much more difficult than that, but conceptually it's quite simple. And so they finish this whole thing, and then we have Aaron, the priest, dies. And so he goes up to the mount, he rests before the Lord, and he's gone. Just before they move over, they go before Nebo. And if you've, I just mentioned this because we happen to go there to Mount Nebo in Jordan. And kind of, it's actually a beautiful view of everything that was there. And that's this is the last place that Moses goes to. And in fact, if you remember a few chapters before, God takes Moses up there and shows him the whole promised land. And this is precisely where it's at. And you could actually still go to this place these days. And I mean, just a plug. So we'll be going back to Jordan, Israel, and Egypt in the fall. So if you're interested, you can sign up when sign-ups begin. So, and then afterwards, then he tells them, okay, this is the law of possessing the land. And this is what you need to do to possess the land. When you go in, this starts at verse 50. The Lord spoke to Moses in the plains of Moab by the Jordan opposite Jericho, saying, speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, when you cross over the Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you will drive out all the inhabitants of the land before you, destroy all their figured stones, destroy all their molten images, and demolish all their high places. And you shall take possession of the land, live in it. I've given the land to you to possess it. And so he's very clear of what he's saying here. He's saying when you go into the land, you need to drive out everyone. The word out all is or kol, which basically talks about totality. And so you need to remove everybody from this place. The driving out is what we think about get rid of, but you know, translated is you can even use the word annihilate in this regard. And so we're talking about get rid of everybody. You know, drive everyone out of this place. And when you come to this place, you need to destroy all their figured stones. The figured stones were these obelisks, and these were their deities. So you need to get rid of all their deities. You need to destroy all their molten images, and you need to demolish all their high places. In other words, these were the places of worship that you needed to destroy. The high places, a lot of times, also sometimes meant children's sacrifices or places where they sacrificed children. And so it was very, very, always a very negative part here. And take possession of it. You need to do this. And then when you take this land, divide it by, you know, the size of your families and so on and so forth. Very practical. But here's the warning. He says, but if you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land, then it shall come about that those whom you let remain of them will become as pricks in your eyes and as thorns in your sides. And they shall trouble you in the land in which you live. And you look at all the stuff that's happening in the Middle East right now. You look at all the wars, the rumor of wars, and all these things. And pretty much sum into this really simple disobeying of God's laws. And the Israelites were like, oh, you know, these guys have pretty women. Do we really have to destroy them? You know, they have some good customs. So we have to really do that. And their inability to do that. If you actually look geographically at the nation of Israel, so Israel, if you look, is about this big, okay? I mean, it's tiny. But the actual land that God gave them is actually this big. It's pretty large piece of land. And the reason why the Lord did that is because they needed to fortify themselves. And again, they gave land away. You know, this thing, I know the British did some really stupid things when they were there. And all these things came about. And so as a result, they're in this little place and just misery, absolute misery. I mean, you need to go sometime and just simply, you know, just go from Israel. I mean, just go in there, you know, right around Jerusalem, and just even making a trip to Bethlehem, you know, which was the birthplace of Jesus, which isn't what they consider occupied territory. I mean, it's like going through penitentiary, man. This is huge walls. I mean, it's so thick. And security checks, you know, over and again. I remember when we first went to Israel many, many years ago, it was just, you know, three guys, me and two other guys, and we rented a small car, and we got lost one day. And we're driving. You know, back then, there wasn't really much of a GPS issue. We were literally going through these, you know, paper maps. And, you know, there was no Google Maps on our phones, believe it or not. This was basically about 2005, I believe. And so it wasn't really that long ago, right? And we totally got lost. And we got ourselves into basically occupied territory, you know, Palestinian territory. And going through checkpoints. And, I mean, it was just crazy. And so obviously, you know, three young Asian guys in a small car. We looked like terrorists, you know, basically. And so we were treated like terrorists basically the whole time we were there, you know, by the guards. They're very suspicious of things. And, I mean, it's just crazy. But the land that God had given Israel was much bigger to fortify themselves. And yet, through poor decisions, through disobedience, sometimes through really bad treaties, they lose it. Lose pieces here, lose pieces there. And then the key to that is it becomes a security issue more than anything else. So what's God saying to them? He's warning them. He says, and this is I think the point this morning. When God asks you to obey, obey completely. That's the key. Obey completely. Don't do half obedience. Don't do a quarter obedience. Don't do 95% obedience. Because whatever that 5% or 10% or whatever you don't obey, there'll be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your side. They are going to trouble you. You know, my friend Sean Smith used to say this, and basically says, you know, whatever we don't give to God or considers our leftovers, those leftovers are fuel, are food for the devil. You know, and I thought it was always a really great picture, right? Just think about, you know, a meal. You know, you have these leftovers. These leftovers is your disobedience, the part that you didn't obey. And then those leftovers are the actual meal of the devil. He dines on our leftovers. And so you got to be very clear. When God asks us to obey, we must obey completely. Completely. Right? I mean, you struggle with alcoholism, and you know that God is asking you to, you know, to do whatever. Get rid of all the alcohol in your house. You know what I mean? I mean, it's just so simple. Obey completely. Don't just, you know, half obey. Oh, I'm not gonna drink anymore. And then boom, it just remains there. You know, whatever it is, just obey completely. Right? You know, you get married. Guess what? Throw away your phone book. You know, let's cut all the numbers. I mean, that's maybe old school. I don't know if you guys do that anymore. You know, but like, you just throw away all the names of your female girlfriends and whatnot. Back in the days, it was called the Black Book. I don't know if there's such things exist anymore. But I mean, just obey completely. Otherwise, they're going to be, you know, pricks in your eyes and thorns in your side. And they're going to cause trouble to us. These are the very things that fuel the enemy. You know, he dines on our leftovers. And so whenever God asks you to obey, just obey completely. Make sure there's no room, no space for the enemy to come in and wreak havoc. And really the word is, and they shall trouble you in the land in which you live. And talking about a prophecy, you know what I mean? I mean, talk about a prophecy. Their inability to fully follow the Lord has led to dire circumstances even today. Amen? So let's close our eyes. I bookended this, the journeys. Let's go back to what I said it way back in the beginning. Be a man or woman of prayer, hear from the Lord, and obey the Lord. If we can just commit ourselves to do that, man, you will live an incredible life in the center of God's will. The fullness of Christ operating in our lives. And the last part, I mean, if that God speaks to you, go before the Lord in that regard. The last part we talked about is real sin. Obey completely. Obey completely. Whatever it may be. God's asking you to give $10,000 to someone. Don't give five, give ten. Fully follow the Lord. You're struggling with something, right? Get rid of the whole thing from your house. So you have a gambling issue, right? Get rid of all the cards in your house. Get rid of all the contacts, right? Throw away your Macau frequent flyer or frequent visiting card. Just get rid of all that stuff. Fully obey when God asks us to and God leads us to. Let's pray as we sing.
Jesus, I am so in love with you. This episode of love songs I want to give to you.
Let's pray this morning. Huh? Let's pray about our obedience. Do we fully follow the Lord? Are we just obeying halfway? 98%? Or whatever you leave behind, whatever you leave over, right, Satan dines on. Let's just ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us about any area of our lives right now, today, that there is just half obedience or something that's just not, we're not quite fully obeying in. And it's simple, let's make it right so that they don't become pricks in our eyes and thorns in our flesh. Well, let's just go before God. Thank you. Let's lift up our community. Let's ask God's healing word in their lives, and that they would just be comforted by the presence of the Lord, and their families would be strengthened and encouraged. Let's just pray for God's touch upon these areas where cancer has struck. Let's pray for our community that's battling illness but also needs to meet with Jesus. So let's pray for physical and spiritual healing. For our community that's battling non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing. Community looking for work, let's pray for God's provision. Let's pray over our government. Let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's ask God's blessing over the city. Let's pray for against the wealth gap. Let's pray for revival. Let's lift up all the churches here. Let's pray for sports services, international, Shanti Ministries, Masters Beauty, Sons and Daughters, Feed the Hungry, CSW, and the Korean Church. And let's pray for our partners in ministry in the city, that they would be strengthened and provided for and anointed to carry out the good news and bless this city. And let's lift up. Thank you. pray for our staff. Let's ask for God's blessing and pray for God's anointing. Pray that we would fully obey God and all that He asks us to do in leading this church. Let's lift up. Let's pray over the worship sound and media teams. Pray real heart of worship and excellence in what they do and the attention to detail. Let's pray for God's hand to be upon them, that they would be worshipers privately before they come and do it publicly. Let's lift up. Let's pray for our arts ministry. Let's pray for a real spirit of creativity. Thank God for the next issue. It should be here this Sunday, and so you guys can pick up the latest issue on missions. They're also involved in trying to help with our website and a lot of other stuff that our print media. Let's pray that art would be a blessing into God's house. Let's lift up. House churches. Let's pray for Fontaine. I think that's changed to Garden House Church, I believe. Let's pray for EastEnders, Cornhill, Kowloon, Lam Kwai Fong, Old Peak Road. Let's ask for God's hand and blessing as they go through Do Not Murder tonight. Let's lift up. Let's continue to intercede for the retreat. Let's pray for Pastor Benjamin, that God would just download messages that we need to hear. Let's pray for all the logistics, all the sign-ups and whatnot. And if you know people that are really struggling to sign up, just begin to pray for them and ask God to speak to them. Pray for this real presence of God during our time, that would really be touched and changed, and that God would really unite us as a body. Us, Singapore, and also Beijing as we come together. Let's pray. Thank you. Let's pray for ECC Kowloon today. Pray for Pastor Randy Young. They are also involved in some church planting in the area as well, so we can pray for them. Pray for revival, that God would pour out His Holy Spirit upon them. Pray that this will result in God's extraordinary power and presence, unity and holiness among believers in and outside of ECC, and the spread of the gospel to the 90% of Hong Kong who don't follow Jesus. And let's pray for ECC, Kowloon, and also pray for Pastor Randy. He's a really good guy. Let's lift him up. Thank you for today, God. We just press in, God, for Pastor Randy and Kowloon ECC. We ask that the Lord would just pour out His Spirit upon them, God, and that it would be the light and witnesses, God, that they need to be. Lord, thank you for the word this morning, God. We are convicted, God, to fully follow after you, God. We don't want to just give you part obedience, God. We want to give you everything, Lord. And so help us and lead us and train us, God, and or we only go when you say go, God, and we'll stop when you say stop. And so help us to be keen and sensitive to your voice, God, and your leading, Lord. And lead us today, we pray. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and see you tomorrow.